Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for your love for us, Lord. That love is so real, Lord. But so often, Lord, we don't respond to that reality of your love. We ask you today to open our hearts and manifest inside of our inward parts the mystery of your kingdom, Lord. That we may realize, O God, the things that are abiding, the realities that don't pass away, the realities, O God, that grow, the realities that grow out of the seed of Christ, the realities that are sustained, O God, by you, the realities that flow from your heart, the realities that stand in accordance with who you are and with all that you are. Let thy kingdom come, Holy Father. Let thy kingdom come in us and amongst us, in our homes, in our churches, in our ministries, wherever we gather together. Wherever we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whatever situation that we are there, as members of the body of Christ, we pray, thy kingdom come. And let the mysteries of your kingdom become, O Lord, a living lifeline in which we live, move, and have our being in you. Open our hearts that we will see. Give us the seeing eye, the hearing ear, and give us a discerning heart, Father. Remove from us everything that is of our flesh, everything that is of the spirit of the world, everything that denies that you are God, everything, O God, that undermines, O God, the truth, Lord. Release the truth in us and set us free. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 starts with the parable of the sower. And you know that the sower went out to sow seed. And verse 8 says, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And in verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I should heal them. This is a parable of contradictions. This is a statement of contradictions. On one hand, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will have life eternal. Here, the Lord says that the seed that has been sown, if it is received, it will bear fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. He's talking about realities that are unknown to the natural man. There's nothing in this world that we know of or our technologies know of that can be sustained, that can sustain a growth rate in 100-fold measures. 100-fold means 100 times 100%, or a 60-fold measure, or 60 times 100%, or 30-fold, 30 times 100%. And so the Lord tells his disciples, to you it has been granted that you will see the mysteries of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom cannot be intellectually discerned. It is not something that is available to man based on what he knows and what he understands, or how intelligent he is, or how perceptive he is. The kingdom of God is a mystery. The realities of the kingdom of God are a mystery. By definition, a mystery is only known by revelation. Everything that God manifests out of revelation knowledge. We were open to the mysteries of the kingdom on the day we were born again. And we were enabled to see, we were enabled to hear. And as we have responded to hearing and seeing from our hearts, that ability to see and that ability to hear has grown over the years. Some of us can see and hear very powerfully today. Some of us have kind of lost our way. Some of us are at crossroads asking questions, is this real, is this not real? So here the Lord says you can see and you may not see at all. You can hear and you may not hear at all. God decides on what is given. And God decides based on how we respond to Him. The mysteries of the kingdom are based on our response to what God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember that. If you respond to God truthfully, if you respond to God honestly, if you respond to God, open yourself to Him, He will do amazing things with you. But if you pretend with God, then you will find that He will close the doors on you. So just being born again doesn't mean that there is a door open to you forever and you can take it for granted. You have to grow into what God has given you. Today as we see the Christian world, you will find that so many Christians can't hear. So many Christians can't see. So many Christians are not born again. So many Christians are not spiritually attuned to what God is saying or what God is doing. They have been hearing and reading the Word of God. Some of them can repeat to you like parrots the Word of God, but they don't know and they don't understand the Word of God. Some of them can write long dissertations on the Word of God, expounding the Greek and expounding the Hebrew, but they don't know God. What is this mystery of the kingdom? The mystery of the kingdom was unknown in the Old Testament. The mystery of the kingdom was given to us through the seed of Christ. The mystery of the kingdom is a mystery open to you, grace upon grace. The mystery of the kingdom is open to you in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The mystery of the kingdom is open to you in a relationship with God. The mystery of the kingdom is something open to you in and by and through Jesus Christ, as He is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that is entirely of God. It is a kingdom in which God alone is supreme. It's a kingdom in which every reality derives from who God is and all that God is. It's a kingdom that is there all the time. It's a kingdom that we can live in all the time. You remember Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says that if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you stand behind the veil. Behind the veil is the reality of the kingdom of God. Here Jesus Christ in Matthew 13 is saying that there are people to whom it has been veiled. They will not see. Why will they not see? Because of their attitude towards God. So many Christians don't grow in the Lord simply because of their attitude towards God. They don't treat Him as God. And neither do they approach Him as God. Some people want a Santa Claus God. Some people want an insurance God. Some people want a problem-solving God. Some people want a God that will serve them all the time. Some people want a God who will pander to their whims and their fancies, without even understanding that God is absolutely supreme. That every breath we take depends entirely on Him. That no matter how much we have, if God does not allow it, it will not be there. So hope. Hope is the first attribute of realizing the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You have to set your hope on Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Why Jesus Christ? Because He is the one with through whom God wants to establish a relationship with you. God presents Himself through Jesus Christ in human terms, in terms you and I can understand. If God manifested himself like he did to the Jewish people on the mountain, where it was thunder and lightning, and where the earth was shaking, it would be a terrifying experience. But God presented himself to us through a cross. God presented us to presented himself to us in a nature that did something for us on the cross. And based on that nature, he has opened the mysteries of the kingdom to us, and he's asking us and calling us to respond to him. And that response is so crucial. So hope takes you behind the veil. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 actually says your soul is anchored behind the veil. Behind the veil is the reality of the kingdom. So it's not difficult to get into the kingdom of God. You don't have to tingle. You don't have to fast 40 days and 40 nights. You just have to focus your hope on the Lord. Behind the veil in the kingdom of God, God opens to us things that are based on what he does. It's very important to understand this. If we do not enter into the mysteries of the kingdom, what God presents to us is his law. And he says, if you don't meet my law, I will judge you by my law. And he says that the wages of sin is death. But when he opens the kingdom of God to you, he approaches you differently. He approaches you grace upon grace. He opens to you a reality of forgiveness. He opens to you a process in which he is willing to work with your weaknesses and deal with your weaknesses through the finished work of the cross. He's willing to bring into you and work into you the faith of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the character and nature of Jesus. And God is working with you and saying, I can make you a new creation, grace upon grace. I am able to do with you something that you cannot do in and of yourself. Because you have chosen to respond to me, I will show you what I can do. The kingdom of God is about what God can do. Outside the kingdom is about what the creature can do. The world that we experience is all about what the creature can do. What the creature has chosen, what the creature has decided upon, what the creature thinks is right, what the creature thinks is wrong. And we see the results of that all around us. We see it in our families, we see it in our marriages, we see it in the responses of our children to us bringing them up. We see it in our offices, we see it in our businesses, we see it in the way our country is run, we see it in the way the economies of the world are run, the politics of the world are run. We see the manipulation, we see the dishonesty, we see the vice, we see the lust. We see the alternate lifestyles, whatever those are. We see evil being called good. We see convoluted thought processes. That's all outside the kingdom of God. But as a Christian, God is inviting you into the mysteries of the kingdom where God is able to do with you and bring you into a life that is entirely derived from him. I repeat that, derived from him. Christian life is not you practicing the law or you trying your best. Christian life is you discovering God's best for yourself. It is you communicating God's best to others. It is you bringing others into the discovery of who and how God is able to do things. It is about the power of God. It's about the brilliance of God. It's about learning how to live by him instead of learning how to live by our own mediocrity and kidding ourselves that we know something. So God gives us some interesting pictures of the kingdom of God. He says that the kingdom of God is open to you through the seed of the word. And he says this is how you will know the difference between this, the word that comes to your intellect and the word that I open to your heart. The word that I open to your heart will manifest in you in 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold golden growth process. And that's how you will know that you are open to what God is doing rather than to what you can do. And you must understand that fundamental difference. You must understand what you are looking at as you are a Christian. You must understand what God has opened to you in the reality of having brought you into a new birth. He's bringing into you a new life, entirely different, premised on different realities. The Greek word used is zoe. There are three different Greek words for life. Bios life is biological life. Suke life is your soul life. Zoe life is the life that flows into your spirit man from God. It is the life that God defined in the man Jesus Christ and gave us through the cross. It is what we call eternal life. It brings into us the reality of the abiding, not the transitory. Everything that we experience in the world system is transitory. It is real. It is real from point A to point B, but after point B, it doesn't exist, brother. Yes, you can invest your life into something and have it from point A to point B, but after point B, you will never see it again. And neither will you be able to go back in time and get it. But everything in the kingdom of God is built in the abiding, built in the eternal. It is built for growth. It is built for life. Life is a growth process. Verse 16 he says, Matthew chapter 13 verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Why? Because they were under the law. By the law, they were far better than you and me. But they did not see it, they did not hear it, because they were based on the law. You and I are open to grace, and our merits are based on the Lamb of God. It's a totally different reality. And that reality is what God is asking us to take hold of. He's asking us to appreciate what has been opened to us. Many people don't. They think being born again is just a religious experience. It feels good and that's it. Now, God will bless me. I can do whatever I want. I just have to pray, and by grace, He covers me. That's not what grace is given for. Grace is given so that you will discover what the faith of God can manifest to you. That's why God deals with us by grace. That's why God keeps on forgiving us. He keeps on forgiving us not because He condones sin, but because He knows that you are responding to Him, and in that response, He can change you. But if you don't respond to Him, there is no purpose to grace. What is that grace? Grace is not a cop-out. Grace is not a means by which we can do what we want to do. God has mercy. He will forgive us. He's forgiven you and me probably millions of times. He's forgiven us for things that we don't even remember doing. Things we do by nature. So he says, "I've opened your eyes to something. I want you to see, I want you to hear it, and I want you to receive it and realize it." Verse 24. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." Verse 38. "And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom." So we are sitting here, and in each one of us, the seed of Christ has been sowed. But it still depends on what we respond to. So if you read that parable, it says that although good seed was sown, verse 25 says, "But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went away. And when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?'" Is God talking about us? Yes. Verse 39, "And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age." Verse 43, Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. How can you and I shine with that kind of power? God is talking about something that he is able to bring into us. So that 60-fold groweth process, that 30-fold groweth process, that 100-fold groweth process manifests us in the brightness of the sun. The book of the Psalms talks about that. The book of Malachi talks about the sun of righteousness rising with healing in its wings. The kingdom of God. Things that God can do with us. Today I'm asking you a simple question, brother and sister. How much of your Christian life is based on what God does and how much is based on what you do? Seriously. Have you not heard the good news that God saves? Why are you still trying to save yourself? When you pray, what do you do? What do you address? What are the issues that you address in your life? What do you bring before God? Do you wear religious clothes and pretend that you are okay? Like the Pharisee prayed, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this man. He's a sinful man. I'm such a wonderful man. You are lucky to have me. I hope you understand what is being said here. Because as long as we keep on bringing our righteousness before God, we will never excel. We will just be mediocre. And the devil wants us to be mediocre. He wants us to respond continuously to the world around us. Yet the scripture speaks of God doing things in the lives of men that no man could have done. If you read through the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament tells us how God works with people who had real weaknesses and he made them shine. All that is a prelude to the kingdom of God. Now we are in the kingdom of God. We are in the kingdom of God at the speed of thought, brother. That's powerful. That's what grace does. Grace translates you from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of light at the speed of thought. But it is dependent on how what your thoughts are saying. 1 John 3:3. If you set your hope on Jesus Christ, you will be purified even as he is pure. What is God talking about? Is he talking about you fasting 40 days and 40 nights and wearing sackcloth and ashes? Now he's talking about you simply setting your hope on Jesus Christ and he manifesting a process of change that will purify you even as he is pure. And many of us get shaken because, my goodness, what do I have to do? You have to keep your hope fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the situations and circumstances of your life are. If you do that, that process of faith will manifest. What is the process of faith? Faith is the substance of hope. What you hope for will take substance, it will become faith, and faith has an evidence. And that evidence you can check out in your own life and know whether it's real, whether it's a bluff, whether it's a make-believe. Isn't God fair? He doesn't ask you to just believe, brother. He says that the faith that you express, that I bring into your life, the faith that I author and finish in you, Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus is the author and finisher of whose faith? Your faith. But how is he going to author and finish your faith, provided your hope is on him? And as he authors and finishes your faith, what does he establish within you? And as an evidence of what he is doing. And what's the evidence of what God does? What you can't do? Are you with me? What you can't do is the evidence of God. What you can do, any turkey outside there can also do. Aren't you tired of it? Hasn't life already taught you that what you can do passes away? So why do we keep on trying to do this thing over and over and over again? Praise the Lord. Verse 33. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Normally leaven is used to signify sin. God is showing you that there is a different process at work in the kingdom of God. He says, just as a little leaven in the natural world will leaven the whole dough, and sin is like that. He's saying in the kingdom of God, there is a different kind of leaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. Like just as sin grows in you and engulfs your whole life in the world that we live in, God is saying in the kingdom of God, there is a different kind of leaven. What leaven is that? That leaven is the leaven of the seed of Christ. And he says, if you take that which grows out of the seed of Christ and hide it in your spirit, your soul, and your body, it will leaven the whole dough. Powerful spiritual process. Listening? It is not based on your religious abilities. It is based on what God is able to do. Are you listening? It is based on that word substance, and that substance is of Jesus Christ, and that substance God is able to work into your spirit, into your soul, into your body. Praise the Lord. How do you hook into this reality? Very simple. You keep your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple process. He's not asking you to stand on your head and balance on one finger. Religious people do that. And they think that because they're doing that, somehow or other they have justified themselves. God is just saying, trust me, believe me. Believe me that I am God. Believe me that you can live by me. Believe me that you can know things by me. Believe me that you can know things by just depending on me. That you can walk into anything and I will teach you how to handle it. I will teach you how to bring it through. When you work as a professional and you are hooked into the kingdom of God, God wants you to know that. That you are no longer dependent on the skills you learned in your school or in your experience in the past. You are open to what God can bring into your life. New ideas are always there in the kingdom of God. But so few of us are hooked in. So few of us are willing to turn to God. We turn to ourselves. We work hard and we work harder still and we work harder and harder still until we get our first heart attack. And then we cry out in hospital bed, oh Lord, why did you allow this? And God says, this is not my plan and purpose for you. I've been trying to tell you to think in me. You don't want to think in me. You think you know everything. All right, carry on. Now you realize what happens to a system that is entirely based on competition. Somewhere along the line, it's going to break, brother. Huh? In the real world that we live in, as product cycles get shorter, as company life cycles get shorter, what do you have? Total chaos. Our children don't have a guarantee of a job permanently. That reality is gone. This is the new world we live in. So how do you live in such a world? You live by God. You depend on Him giving you the favor. You depend on Him to allow you to be ahead. With Him in the boat, you can stop the storms. With Him in the boat, you can raise the dead. With Him on the boat, you can walk on the water. But these things don't happen just like that. It happens through a relationship. See, faith has an evidence. Nothing will happen until you have that evidence in your heart. Why is that evidence so important? Because that evidence tells you exactly who your God is and who you are in Him. Praise the Lord. Verse 31 and 32. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. If nothing else, groweth in the kingdom of God is a... Everything in the kingdom of God is a groweth process. It starts with a small seed, but it will grow. It will grow into a tree of life. And others will be able to live by what you live for or what you stand in. You will become a blessing. It will just naturally flow out of you. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in this field, which a man found and hid. And from the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." What is he trying to tell you here? That the things of the kingdom are real treasures. And these treasures are manifested in your heart. Everything that you work for in the world is manifested outside of you. Please hear this. Everything that you work for in the world system is manifested outside of you. Everything that you realize in the kingdom of God is manifested inside of you. It is that. It is like God prepares you to be an instrument, and no matter what the situations and circumstances are, you will be able to manifest from within yourself in God the necessary to realize the results. It will result in success, and there will be things given to you on the outside. But always the wealth that you have is on the inside. And it is capital that goes with you. I like that. It is my experience of life that I have lost more things out of what I have earned and what I have left. But everything I have got in God is real. It's there. Nobody can take it away from me. Only I can throw it away. But in principle, nobody can take it away from me. Because it's God-given, because it's God-sustained. I don't have to worry about where it will go. It's there. And in the partnership and the relationship that I have with the Lord, I will always be able to find it, even in the midst of difficulties. Powerful. So God is telling us about wealth, and God's very interested in wealth. But God's definition of wealth and man's definition of wealth are absolutely not the same. I will repeat that, absolutely not the same. Absolutely not the same. There is a prosperity teaching in the Bible, but it isn't based on the riches of the world. It is based on the riches of God's heart. The mystery of the kingdom. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. What is God trying to say? Anything given to you in the kingdom of God is worth everything else that you have. Now, you can't realize that by the flesh. You have to grow into it. That's why Paul says, whatever I had, and Paul was a brilliant man. He grew up in a very intelligent race of people, and he was the cream of the cream. He was super intelligent. And he writes in the book of Philippians chapter 3, "I count it all but rubbish what I had before." What did he discover? The wealth of God. What did he discover? The treasures of the kingdom. And he says, what I have in Jesus Christ is the real thing, and everything I had before Everything that the world bestowed on me, everything that my heritage bestowed on me is rubbish. How does an intelligent man, a super intelligent man, say that? Because he found an intelligence that made his intelligence irrelevant. That's why. It is not that he became a fool. He discovered a greater intelligence and he subjected himself to that intelligence and he saw what that intelligence offered. And he realized that what it was saying was so much more. And for that reason, he went through humiliation and he went through suffering and pain. Praise the Lord. Here's the good news about what the kingdom of God is about. Verse 47, chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. See, God is looking for fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. See, God has got no boundaries over your life. He's not looking at your caste. He's not looking at your skin color. He's not looking at your race. In the sea of humanity, God is casting out a net. All of us sitting here have been taken into the kingdom of God. Let's not lose that heritage that God has given us. How do you lose that heritage? By getting out of the kingdom of God and getting into the kingdom of the world. By remembering our hurts. By meditating on our hurts. By letting our anger grow towards somebody else. By being unwilling to forgive somebody else. By choosing to retaliate to people the way people in the world retaliate. And just as you walk by faith and realize the treasures of God, you walk in the flesh and you realize the decay of the flesh. Everything that is of this kind of flesh will die. It's experiential to all of us. So get out of the spirit of the world. Turn to the Lord and draw from Him the love of Jesus Christ. How did Jesus Christ say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing"? What was His reality? His reality was of the kingdom of God. His reality was of God making all things new. His reality was of God, the Creator, who could change darkness into light. And so he spoke those words over those who drove spikes into His body. In spite of the excruciating pain. Because they drove it right through the nerve in the wrist. That's one of the most painful spots that you can find in the human body. And in that crushing pain, Jesus Christ rose above that crushing pain to say, "Father, forgive them." What was His reality? His reality was the kingdom of God. His reality was the love of the Father's heart. Are you listening? So we are assaulted in many ways by what we see and experience around us. But we must not respond to that. We have to respond to what God opens to us in the kingdom of God. That is the challenge. It's not always easy. It is not easy to turn the other cheek. People will think you're an idiot. And that's probably harder to take than just being slapped on the cheek. People will think you're weak because you walk away. And people will think you're a weakling. But you are not. Given time, you will find a strength that is amazing. Praise the Lord. The mysteries of the kingdom. Powerful, supernatural. A rich heritage. A reality of a new character, a new mind, a new heart, a totally new state of being. Ephesians 2:10 says, that you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. Powerful, isn't it? Created in Christ Jesus. If you read that statement out of the flesh, you will think it's an absurd statement. But if you can read that statement from behind the veil, from your heart, then you will see life in it. It just depends where you are. If you are immersed in the world, you'll think this is one of those absurd things written in the Bible. Bible has got many absurd things. In the book of Isaiah chapter 54 verse 13, it says, all of your sons will be taught of God and their well-being will be great. Not a small statement, because the person who is saying those words is God himself. When you and I say great, there's nothing very big about it, no matter how big we are. When God says great, it's a totally different reality. It's a totally different universe. There are some more absurd statements in the Bible. It says that the seed of God, seed of his word planted in your heart, will manifest in you like a morning star. The smallest morning star that we have in our universe is our sun. What a picture. More absurd statements, right? God takes Father Abraham out and he says, your descendants will be like the stars. Realities of the kingdom of God. Foreshadowed. Realities of the kingdom of God. All of us will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. Powerful words. Awesome words. In the world system, only one man can be the head. In God's system, all can be the head and none will be the tail. Isn't that magnificent? In the competitive systems of the world, for a short point in time, one man will be the head. But in the kingdom of God, all of his sons will be the head and not the tail. Isn't that wonderful? And you don't have to compete for it. You don't have to stick a knife into somebody's back. You don't have to watch who's doing something behind you. Isn't that freedom and liberty? But the person living in the world will say, you are a nut. You're living in a utopian make-believe world. Who is the nut? My Jesus came back from the dead. You will never come back from the dead, buddy. My Jesus has changed my life. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm no longer a loser. I have all things through Christ who strengthens me. And nobody can take that away from me. I have something that is real. Praise the Lord. And it's not based on the fact that I'm a good fellow either. It's based on him being a good chap. I like that. I don't have to show a report card anymore. He is my report card. I like that. I don't have to pass exams anymore. He's passed them for me. I just have to realize grace upon grace what God has given me in him. And by the Holy Spirit, I will learn all things there are to learn in Christ Jesus. Because he will teach me. Because it is the will of my Father. Isn't that wonderful? Can you think like that? That's freedom and liberty. Jesus said that the world that we live in is passing away. All that is in it is passing away. It's experiential. Where are the things you had 20 years ago? Can you go and take them back? Where are the things your father had? Where is the status that he had, assuming he was a very important man in his time? Where is that gone? Maybe you come from a very important family. Where has that gone? You listening? God is trying to teach us something. As we get older, we are supposed to learn some things. So many people, you know, I have friends of mine who are going to retire who think that it's all going to be hunky-dory after this, not realizing that they have no life outside their job. Because the demands of the job were like that. So invest your life in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will go wherever you are. You can do your job, you can run your business in the kingdom as well. You can make it part and parcel of your inheritance in God. What is of the flesh will pass away. What is of the natural will pass away. But what is of the spiritual will remain in you. That's how God wants us to live. He wants us to live in the kingdom. He wants us to unfold the kingdom in our spheres of influence. So that when those spheres of influence pass on by, what we have learned in God will continue to remain, because that relationship and what you have realized from God in yourself, that will remain. The things of the natural will always pass away. As parents, there comes a time when we have to let our children go. My favorite daughter is going to have a job in Singapore. You have to let go. It's painful, isn't it? But there will be a time when we are in the kingdom of God, when there will be no such partings, and we will be alive to each other all the time by the grace of God. That's good, isn't it? But in the natural, in the flesh, these things happen. But in the kingdom of God, these partings will no longer be there. There will be no more tears. There will be no longer any sorrow. There will be no longer death. There will be no destruction. Isn't that good? Is there such a reality as good? Yes, look at the cross. Genuine goodness, unadulterated by anything else that the world had to manifest. Pure, perfect goodness. Receive it. Receive your healing. Receive your deliverance. Let go. Let the people who have hurt you go. Let them go. Cling to God. Receive of Him. Get the healing. Be set free. Why are you living for something that does not last? Ask the Lord to change your thinking. Ask the Lord to change your emotions. Ask the Lord to transfigure you as a human being. There's nothing He can't do. Ask Him to create in you a clean heart. What did David do? Why was David so precious to God? Because he always saw God as God. So when he sinned, he didn't sit down and mope over his sins. He said, "Oh God, this is the problem, my heart. Create in me a clean heart." And he begged God, "Don't take your spirit away from me." Later on he writes, "Oh God, save me by your name. Vindicate me by your power." He realized something. If God did not do something, he would die. That no matter how good his intentions were, it would not get him out of this world. So he said something powerful. Jesus came and he manifested the name of God to us. Who is our God? He is the creator and owner of the universe, Yahweh Elyon. He is El Shaddai, the almighty and all-sufficient God. He is Yahweh Yireh, the Lord God who is the provider, absolutely, totally, and comprehensively. He is Yahweh Rohai, the shepherd, the one who will lead you by his own voice. The one who will teach you how to hear God and respond to God all the time at the speed of thought in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. He is Yahweh Rophe or Yahweh Rapha, the Lord God who heals, and he can deliver you and he can heal you from any kind of sickness, sin, and disease. Take hold of him, cling to him. He is Yahweh Nisi, the banner of victory over your life. He will lead you, he will never leave you, neither will he forsake you. He is Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God who is your rest. And you can rest in him and you can find his healing touch and his healing peace. He is Yahweh Shalom, the Lord God who is your peace and well-being. He has sworn an oath in his own name towards you, that there is a covenant of peace that he has for you to receive, to realize, and to live by in thought, word, and in deed. He is Yahweh Sitkanu, the Lord God who is your righteousness, who will lead you and manifest your life by what he can do rather than by what you can do. And you will learn how to live by the Lord your God, and you will be blessed, and your children will be blessed from generation to generation. Hear the word of the Lord. He is Yahweh Shammah, the Lord God who is always there, the ever-present one, the Lord who cannot leave you, because he is there always. Only you can leave him. Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who is your maker, the one who can shape you and mold you and fashion you and make you all that he wants you to be. Do you want to be all that he wants you to be? That's the question. Or do you want to be what your mediocre brain can think of you being? Why do we live in this mediocrity? Why are we so impressed with the little bit that we know? Who can make a seed and make it grow, brother? When you sit down and you thank God for grace at your meals, what are you thanking Him for? You're thanking Him for the simple fact that you're eating out of His hand, because you cannot make a seed, neither can you make it grow. It doesn't matter whether you have just won the last 5 Nobel Prizes in chemistry and biology and physics. He is Yahweh Elohika, the Lord God who wants to be your God. I am the Lord thy God, a personal God. Yahweh Elohe, the Lord who is my God. He wants you to know Him as my God. Yahweh Eloheinu. He has put you amongst many brethren who will always say, He is the Lord our God. Powerful. Powerful. He is Yahweh Elohim, the Creator God. So what are you afraid of? The kingdom of God. Isn't it wonderful? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name is wonderful. Do you know that, brethren? That is of the mystery of the kingdom. Yes, we are in pain, and yes, we are in sorrow. Yes, sometimes we are defeated repeatedly. But in God, you cannot fail. But in God, you cannot fail. Praise the Lord. And so it is written in the Word of God that you shall take delight in the fear of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Take delight. Ecstasy. What's God talking about? Realities of the kingdom of God. Not realities of the human race. Praise the Lord. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and God will work at your own pace. If you want to do it the slow way, that's fine. But respond to Him. Ask Him to teach you. What does it mean? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, says the Lord God. In Christ Jesus, I have blessed you. I have made you partakers of the glory of my grace. In Revelation 21, it said that the bride will have the glory of God. Will have the glory of God. Amazing words. But you can only appreciate words like that in kingdom realities. You can't appreciate it in the flesh. If you're a Christian trying to balance God and mammon, you will never understand words like that. You will think them as ridiculous. And from the perspectives of the world, yes, they are ridiculous thoughts. But David writes in the Psalms, he who has a clean heart. How do you have a clean heart? By setting your hope on Jesus Christ, because setting your hope on Jesus Christ will purify you even as He is pure. If you have a clean heart, you can rise into the mount of the Lord. Genesis 22 verse 14, and in the mount of the Lord it will be provided, in the mount of the Lord it will be seen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As parents, you need to see for your children. If you see only the realities of the world, you're dooming your children to the realities of the world. And the world is growing in darkness, brother. In many parts of the world, you can employ security guards and still your kids get kidnapped. I see them in security reports every day. It happens all over the world. It's amazing. So who is your security? Only God can be your security. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you. We thank you for the kingdom of God. We thank you that the kingdom of God is open to our inward parts. The kingdom of God is open to us within ourselves. The realities of the kingdom are discerned from our heart. The realities of the kingdom stand behind the veil. The realities of the kingdom, O God, are given to us grace upon grace. And we bless you and thank you. It is not by merit, O God. Because if it were by merit, we won't make the grade. We thank you, O God, that all our merits are in Christ Jesus. All our merits are based on the finished work of the cross. Yet, your reality of grace is not a cop-out. It is a process in which you mean to work in us what you are able to do with us, teaching us how to live in you, teaching us how to live by you, teaching us how to live through you. And we thank you for your painstaking work that has been begun in each one of us. Enable us to see, Father. Enable us to hear, O God. Enable us to perceive. Enable us to know. Enable us to understand. Enable us, O God, to stand, O God, in the strength of what you provide us with, Lord. That we will not be shaken by all that is shaking in the world that is around us. We thank you that you are the rock. You are our strong tower. You are our defense. You are our dwelling place. That you have called yourself our dwelling place, even though you are the Most High God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are tabernacling each one of us in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. All this is kingdom reality, Lord. Kingdom reality given to us in the merits of the Lamb. Kingdom realities manifested to us by the Holy Spirit. Kingdom realities that are explained to our hearts in the faith and love of Jesus, in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus, in the witness and testimony of Jesus. We are indeed blessed. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the true vine, and we bless you that we have the potentials of being his branches, bearing fruit in his abundance. We thank you and we bless you for all this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 22. Verse 14. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What is this Passover into the kingdom of God? The Passover was introduced the first time when God was taking the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. When you are born again, the Passover is open to you in your spirit man, is open to you as a reality of the kingdom of God. And he says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The kingdom of God was so real to Jesus Christ that he was prepared to suffer. The reality was so powerful that he could actually say those words, with fervent desire, I have desired. Powerful words. Even though he knew he was going to suffer, he was going to be in excruciating pain and humiliation in a few hours' time. Yet, the reality of the kingdom of God was so powerful to him that he could use words like that. With fervent desire, I have desired. Now that's how real the kingdom of heaven is. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about fulfillment. The kingdom of the world is about death and destruction, of futility. But everything in the kingdom of God is about fulfillment. We are all creatures of fulfillment. God has a plan over your life. You don't have to compete for it. It is his plan. It is his best for you. It is powerful. It is excellent. It is of the stature of his greatness. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. In the New American Standard, it says, share it amongst yourselves. This cup is a witness. We drink of the cup, and the witness of that cup we share through our lives. What are we sharing? The realities of the kingdom. That's what that witness is meant to build in us. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. The fruit of the vine come off the branches. So what is God trying to tell us here? that the kingdom of God has its fruitfulness. And you can check out the reality of the kingdom of God through those fruits. So exercise your faith so that you will be fruit-bearing. Don't be selfish and self-centered. So many of us take the anointings of God, take the giftings of God, and we are so selfish and self-centered, which is why we cannot see the fruit of the kingdom. Eventually, we can't discern between right and wrong anymore. But if you function with those giftings and those anointings in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, you will see fruitfulness. And you will be able to know and know and know and know that the kingdom of God is real. You will see your own life change. You will see your impact on others. You will see your family life change. You will see the peace of God manifest in your family. You will see God repair the breaches in your marriage. You will see your children's character and nature change. You will see yourself have favor even in the midst of your enemies. You will see that the favor of God will enable you to even breach the barriers of race. Because when God gives you favor, He gives you favor. If you live by the systems of the world, all you will have is bitterness as a response to discrimination. But if you live in the kingdom of God, you will see favor breach every form of discrimination. Breach the barriers of every form of discrimination. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is based on the faith of God. The kingdom of God is based on the love of God. The kingdom of God is based on the omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence of the living God. It is based on the eternal God. It is based on the abiding. It is based on the indestructible. It is based on that which is all-sufficient and will always be all-sufficient. We have to grow into it, of course. But as you grow, you can check it out. It is not make-believe. It is not religious hype. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Jesus Christ shed his blood so that the realities of the kingdom will be opened to us by oath. Covenant is oath. God's oath, not man's oath. God's oath. The new covenant is God's oath. God's oath sworn in the blood of the Lamb. God's oath manifested to us in the faith and love of Jesus, so that through the faith and love of Jesus, through the character and nature of Jesus, through the spirit and life of Jesus, nothing will be impossible to us. So today, as we partake of Holy Communion, forgive, brethren. Don't respond to the anger and hatred of the world. Don't respond to the perversions of the world. Don't respond to the injustices of the world. It will just bring anger and bitterness and rejection in your heart. And you will get nothing out of it. It is designed to kill you. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He will steal your hope, and then he will kill you. And then he will tear everything in your life apart. That's his plan. But the plan of the living God is that you will live forever. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Shall we pray?